Before we continue our current topic, which we are discussing, the methodology and the manner of correcting people and trying to derive and attain light and guidance from the incidents which took place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever took place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was countless wisdom of Allah Jalla Majduhu, so that people coming until the Day of Judgment, they will not encounter such a situation which the solution of which is not available for them in principle in the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before we continue, there's a question from sisters upstairs. Someone asked a question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Can you please tell us why we do sajda when we are reading the Quran Sharif when it comes? So this is a simple question, that why we do sajda of tilawat, the sajda of recitation of Quran. When we are doing tilawat sometimes, people, you see people closing their Quran Majeed and they do one sajda. There are two reasons why we do sajda. One is that in the Quran, because we unfortunately, most of us from South Asia have not learned the language of the Quran. So many things which are very simple, we do not understand them because just of lack of knowledge of the language, of Arabic language. There are certain places in the Quran, as you know, the Quran is a place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned do's and don'ts in regarding human beings. In the Quran, one of the major parts of the Quran, great portion of the Quran consists of awamir and nawahi, positive injunction, do's and don'ts. We don't do this, do this. So a great portion of the Quran actually consists of that. And also, the topic of Quran, the subject of Quran, is also human being, primarily. Every book has a subject, title. What is the subject of the Quran, someone asks you. The subject is something, the title, which all chapters of the book are related to. So if anyone asks, what is the subject of the Quran as a book, it is, the topic of the Quran is human being. Each verse somehow relates to the human being. Akhirat, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the messenger, or the previous people, whatever is discussed is human. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran itself, هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ, it is guided for the human being. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. In the month of Ramadan, we have revealed the Quran. فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ, it is guided for the human being. So remember that the subject of the Quran is human being itself. If Tawheed is mentioned, that is mentioned for human being. If Risalat is mentioned, it's mentioned for guidance of human being. Do's and don'ts, local, international, social, economic laws, family values, other matters are mentioned, they all relate to human being. Now because, as I said, the Quran consists of do's and don'ts, there are, according to the Hanafi fiqh, 14 places in the Quran in the Quran, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directly ordered to do sajda for to the believers. Or there is mention of carrying out the sajda, prostration. So that is why we do sajda, because in the verse which we are reciting at that time, that instructs us to do sajda at that time immediately. And like Durood Sharif, jaise hum ayat padhte hain, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, that surely Allah and the angels send blessings on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Durood, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O believers, sallu alayhi, you also send durood wa sallimu taslima and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a instruction of sending durood. Similarly, the places where we do sajda, there the instruction of doing sajda. For example, very simply in the last sajda of the Quran, which is in Surah Alaq, basically says, "Kalla la tuti'hu wasjud waqtarib, wasjud waqtarib," that perform sajda karo and become near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تو اب آپ کا سجدہ واجب ہو گیا ہے because you have asked a question. So in the explanation of I have just read the verse of the sajda, basically saying sajda karo, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying do sajda, so it becomes wajib as to perform sajda. So I hope the person who ever has asked the question or others as well have understood that why we do sajda of tilawat, because in those verses, because we do not understand the meaning, if you will read the meaning, a verse will be mentioning something about sajda, prostration. That is the reason. And the way to do is, you don't need to raise your hands, wherever you are sitting or standing, you can simply say Allahu Akbar, and go down in prostration in sajda, and read the tasbih. There are other tasbihat which you can read, but you can also recite the tasbih of sajda which you recite in the normal sajda of namaz. And then saying Allahu Akbar, just sit down or stand up, whatever you want. There is no salam after that. Yes, one thing is necessary. Wudu, without wudu and ablution, one cannot perform the sajda. So yeh hai. حضرت انس بن مالک رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ حدیث mentioned in صحیح بخاری انس بن مالک رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ companion of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, what is the matter with some people who raise their gazes to the heavens whilst they are in salah, they are praying? He spoke so harshly about them that he said they should stop doing that, or else Allah will take away their sight. So this is a hadith of Bukhari in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. One of you actually have also asked a question before as well, that in dua can we raise our head? This hadith is specific to the salah and prayers. It does not cover other places as well. So, ye namaz ki halat hai. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some people asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching Allah and praying and turning towards their gazes towards the heaven. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed them not to do it. It is against the etiquette in the prayer. Because in the prayer, you are instructed to look at the place of where you are doing sajda, not left or right or anywhere. But the point which we are learning, the method of correcting people is that in this hadith we learn, and another hadith I will actually mention to you, that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is the matter with some people? So he must have seen some people, anyone doing it. But when he spoke in public, he did not nominate that person. These people are doing mistakes by ignorance, or somehow they do not want, they are not doing it openly, like open sinning. Then, if you want to correct someone, if you see your brother or sister, any Muslim, doing something wrong, do not admonish him in public, or her in public. Whoever will do it, he has indeed disgraced his brother, and his admonish and advice will not be effective as well. Because at that time, the person will, you can say, create an opposition, and his evil self actually will erupt and will incite that person to oppose that person. Because the self will feel that it has been disgraced in front of people. So instead of paying heed to the advice, that person will retaliate and personally attack, do a counter attack at the other person. So if a person is saying that you are doing this sin publicly, he will say, that person might say, I have seen you such and such day, you were doing the other thing, why you don't, etc. So what is the way? Either in loneliness, in seclusion, with mercy, with gentleness, say to that person in such a way that you do not incite his evil self. Because if he has already, the evil soul is there, the inciting soul is there, and this will be like adding fuel to the fire, blowing the fire, and then the real purpose will be forgotten, and then a dispute, an argument will begin. And this person will attack the other person will actually answer them, actually accuse the other. So it's against wisdom, and that's why Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, although he knew who was doing it, but he did not nominate any person. This is not all the time. Sometimes a person is openly sinning, he can be admonished. But generally, I am total. And there's great wisdom not to nominate, say, in such a way that people do not get incited and do not mind. Because not that you have telling something wrong to them, you are telling the truth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Udwa ila sabili rabbika, that invite people towards the way of your Lord, bil hikmah, with wisdom, wal maw'izat al hasana, not with knowledge only. Not that you know only that's wrong, but with wisdom. Wisdom means looking at what is the place, what is the environment, what is the mental state of that person, where we are now, how does this person relate to me, etc. Is he student or I am the student? Is he father or I am the father, or etc. All situated things can be done. This is, they are included in wisdom. It is not sufficient to know. I know one person who still lives, but I will not name him. As I think, I will not name anyone, because it will become ghibat, because it is, does not become in the five exceptions. There are five exceptions of ghibat. Secondly, name is not necessary. Just to actually explain to you. This person works, or is a manager, or you can say director, or owner of a manufacturing business, or any business that's there. Many Muslim sisters work there. And this person keeps saying to them every time, he's an elder person, and about, you can say, in late 50s, etc. The girls and the Muslim sisters are working, and he insists every day when the time of prayer comes, it is the time of prayer, go and pray. Why are you not praying? Go and pray, go and pray. Those sisters actually somehow conveyed a message, let's say, conveyed a message somehow to me that please explain this person that there are certain days of the month when women do not pray. And he keeps insisting every day, each prayer, and because of shame and shyness and modesty, we go in the kitchen, we go in the toilet, etc., just to keep him quiet. He was the owner of the place, or he had a very, you can say, important post. So somehow if you can convey. So I had a certain relationship. I mentioned to that person, that explained to him that women should, once or twice in a month you say that you should pray, and that also generally when it's not the time of prayer. Not that the time of prayer you should say to the women, go and pray. Because this is not, this is against wisdom. So I said, because they are not pure all the time, and they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has excused them, so me and you do not have any right to say to them. And they cannot pray. So next day, he went, they told me after, and he announced very loudly, that, oh sisters, oh my daughters, whoever is pure, and is not excused from prayer, actually, they should go and pray. So still all of them went into the kitchen and they left all the places, because that was again actually the same sense of shame and you can say were actually occurring at that time. So the same thing he was doing again. Although in another. So that is why I am saying that the knowledge is not sufficient only of right and wrong, but also how to convey that knowledge and where to use that knowledge and in which way to use that is also important. That's what we are trying to learn. So inshallah, it's these 15 or 20, 25 lessons which we will cover. Once inshallah you will listen, main points you will remember. You should remember afterwards. If you forget, you can go back to the cassette so I can give you notes. And then the real time will come when I will instruct you somehow go and reach now, actually spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will utilize this knowledge and this weapon and these techniques. Now you are in stage of learning only. So if you will not take heed, you will encounter problems. Then you will have to come back and learn again, and then again actually go. Next hadith, conveying the same message. When Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala wanted to buy a slave woman, this is hadith of Bukhari also, whose name was Barira. Her owners refused to sell her except with the condition that she would still be connected to them. So Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was buying a slave girl from someone called Barira. Her owners put a condition which is not in Sharia. So this was a personal matter, you can say, between Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala and the person, and it was somehow connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indirectly because it was his household. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found that this matter happened like this and people said like this, so although this was now personal affecting Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but still Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not nominate or directly mention them, but he stood up and addressed the people, praised Allah, thanked Allah and said, what is wrong with people who impose conditions which are not mentioned in the book of Allah? There is no condition that is not mentioned in the book of Allah, but it is invalid. Even if there were 100 such conditions, the decree of Allah is more true, the conditions laid down by Allah are more binding. So Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم mentioned and addressed those people also heard this message. And then they corrected themselves and they became aware of what they did wrong. Or they are what they are. They are the way of thinking or the condition which they were performing. But the same message should be conveyed to you through both of these hadith, that not directly addressing the person nominating them. It is generally, it is more beneficial, and it is in sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also safeguarding the honor of Muslim brothers and sisters, so that you do not disgrace them and dishonor them. Another hadith narrated by Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa رضي الله تعالى عنها, the mother of believers, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something and made it permissible. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something people thought, even coming to Islam, that it is not allowed, jaiz nahi, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something and made it permissible. Say this is jaiz in our Sharia, and he did. But some people felt that they were above doing that. Some people still actually abstain from it. This means that when Sharia has made something allowed, then no one has right to actually stop people or ask people which Sharia had disallowed to do it. Or if Sharia had allowed, no one has a right to stop people from it. And in some people's mind, Shaitan puts this notion, you are very pious, so you, although it is jaiz, but they consider it haram for themselves. It is not allowed for us. And they think that they are more pious than the other people. News of this reached Prophet ﷺ, so that Prophet ﷺ knew that people are still abstaining from it and thinking that we are above this. So he addressed people again, Prophet ﷺ addressed people collectively in the mosque of prophetic mosque. He praised and thanked Allah. Then he said, what is the matter with people who think themselves above doing the things that I do? Who think themselves above doing the things which I do? By Allah, I know more about Allah. I have more marifat of Allah than they do, and I fear Allah more than they do. So Prophet ﷺ mentioned that these things which are allowed by Sharia, there is no piety or anything like this that you abstain from them and consider haram for yourself. It is like the three companions which came to the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mother of believers and asked and inquired about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spends time at home, and tell us something strange about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked one of the wives of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, or another. They replied that, which thing shall we tell you? All of the things of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are such superior, and they are astounding and they are astonishing. But so they mentioned the worship or whatever Prophet did in household during the day and night. When they heard the ibadat, the taqwa and steadfastness of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they thought, we are sinful people, we are ummati, and if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so steadfast, now we will also, we need to do much more than him to be saved. So one of them said that I will not fast now, I will not actually break my fast from now on, meaning I will consecutively fast now for the rest of my life. The second said that I will not go to my wife now, attend the need of my wife, and I will abstain from them and spend time in worship. The third one said, I will not sleep from now on. I will continuously pray, sleep during the day a little time for a little while, and then actually I will spend time in worship continuously. These people went, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned home And he asked, and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa mentioned, or the mother of Jesus mentioned, that what happened. The Prophet in one hadith he comes cold, these people, and in another hadith, it also comes, he addressed generally. But when he called these people, obviously these were the three people concerned, there was no other one present there. So Prophet became angry, and he became displeased, and he said the same thing we mentioned here, that I know Allah more than you, I fear Allah more than you, I attend the needs of my wife, and I sleep at night and also pray, and I fast and I do not fast sometimes. So do you have fear and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than me? So Prophet admonished them that this is not the right way. So this means that in some sense the student or the disciple should not begin such things by initiating himself in such nafli ibadat and excessive zikr, etc., which he might think is good for him, but in actual fact the end result will be that it will be harmful for him. In the sense that he will leave it, or there will be another effect of it, which he does not know. Another hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mentioned similar hadith to you before as well, but now I am mentioning it from different aspect. So some spit him on the floor of the Mosque of Nabawi. Someone has spat on the ground towards Qibla. Like rows are made and towards Qibla. He turned to people and said, what is wrong with one of you that he stands facing the Lord? Hadith in Muslim. What is wrong with one of you that he stands facing his Rabb and his Lord and spits in front of him? So again Prophet ﷺ approached a collective and general, you can say, admonish and warning. If any one of you, would any one of you like someone to face him and spit in his face? So Prophet ﷺ explaining now. Would any one of you like someone to face him and spit in front of him? So Prophet ﷺ explaining the harmful effect of this act. So it is also advisable that, as I mentioned before to you, that when mentioning something, a sin, it is useful to, if there is, you know, are aware of any harm, or to convey the harmful and the evil effect of that sin in people as well. So not only saying don't do it, but if you are aware, also mention why they should not do it, this will be the harm. Or try to show the sin that it is serious. Like Prophet is giving an example that if anyone spits towards your face, facing towards you, how you feel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all these things, but to honor and respect Allah jalla majduhu, actually has much more respect is due to him. So now in the companion's mind, and we are listening to the ummah, it has now settled in our mind that no one will dare do it. Then, as I said last time, not only stop people from doing something, but also offer them another alternative or a way out for them. So don't say, don't go here, there is a block, it's a wall there. Tell them where the door is as well. If someone is going for, let's say, wrong destination, do not mention you are going wrong only, but mention that turn around or go left and go towards that direction. That's your problem. That's all. Just saying that you're going wrong will not help anyone as much. So Prophet addressed generally, then he mentioned the effect of the sin and gave an example that so that people can understand that how actually quoted it is, and then said, if any one of you wants to spit, let him spit towards his left under his feet, and if he cannot do this, let him do this. And then the companions say that Prophet ﷺ explained him how he spat on his garment and rubbed one part of it against another part. So if a person is very much in dire need of spitting, that's in that, you can say, that time only. So, lot of aspects in these ahadith, but we cannot cover all of them, and the wisdom, there are countless wisdom mentioned, and one can, if one begins to think and learn, there are more and more. But I move to the next hadith mentioned in the Nasai, the book of hadith. Sunan al-Nasai, that Rasulullah was leading prayer of Fajr, Salat al-Fajr, and he recited Surat al-Rum of Quran, but he got mixed up in his recitation. Mutashabih lag gaya Rasulullah sallam ko ayaton mein. When he had finished praying, he said, what is the matter of the people who pray with us but do not purify themselves properly? Such people are the ones who make us get mixed up when we recite Quran. Imagine a person by intellect and by his mind, he cannot think that the imam is leading the prayer. And a person is standing behind, he has not done wuzu correctly or ghusl correctly, the effect of that also will fall on the imam, mentioned in hadith. So when people try to criticize the imam, if he is in Taraweeh, he is praying, it is not really the imam who has, he has actually been working, he has been reading and reciting the Quran from morning to evening to every day. It is due to some people, some women, or some people who have not done ghusl correctly or have not done wudu correctly, and they are standing, and due to that, the imam actually forgets again and again and that kind of stuff. Who do not have wudu properly. Proper wudu or proper ghusl. Imagine how much just not having wudu, that the evil effect of it is how much it is. It is also influencing the person who is reading Quran. And if a person who is just sitting idly, how it will also affect him. So wudu mein kitni barkat hai. Ghusl achhi tarah karne se, jis tarah shariat ne hukm diya hai, aaj ashiya mein kitni barkat hai. So if a person has not got wudu, and he does not have the ghusl, and he is standing behind the imam is forgetting, how can this person himself hope for any guidance, any inspiration, any barakah, any nur descending on him? If his nahusat and his evil influence is affecting the other good person, as Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no one is actually more good than him, more honorable than him, more pure than him, how will it affect the other people, and what can he hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that any piety, any taqwa, any marifat, any gnasis, any special barakat descending on his heart? So that is why I always advise you that to take great care when you do wudu, learn correctly, especially when you do istinja, do it correctly, and do not be extra cautious about the traces of urine. I do not become any shy by mentioning it, because people stay at the room, because after the istinja they don't care. Sometimes traces of urine are left and they are extracted, and they don't care about going back and doing istinja and wudu, and they carry on praying like that. And then obviously no barakah, they also affect other person. So this hadith also mentioned the fact that if a person does not have wudu, he is affecting the most virtuous person in the universe. Now imagine if a person is sinning and sitting with you, how much you will be affected by his sin as well. Because a person is sinning in your house or wherever you are, don't think that you are pious, let him do whatever. His nahusat and his evil influence is also stopping you from receiving the barakat and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no fault or mistake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in there. But still, they said, that is why if you strive for goodness and preach goodness and enjoying the good and forbid the evil, then inshallah, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy and special mercy will purify you. But significance of wudu is how much in this? It was sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do wudu, you can say, for every prayer. Wo kis liye hai? Maybe this person has forgot to do his wudu, he has not got wudu somehow and he has forgot. Although from fiqh point of view, he has wudu, but he might not have wudu. Five prayer, Prophet ﷺ did wudu five times, plus one for tahajjud. And like you hear Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani's worship, state of worship that he prayed with the wudu of Isha, the wudu of Fajr prayer. Now the Buzurgan Adin has mentioned that this does not mean that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani did not do wudu at the Fajr time as well. This means that his wudu was sustained, the same wudu was sustaining, but he still refreshed it for Fajr prayer, acting upon Sunnah. If a person who has wudu at Isha time and at Fajr time he does not need wudu, and a person who has done wudu Isha time and he again does wudu at Fajr time, he is much more superior and virtuous than that person. Some people boast, we prayed three prayers with one wudu, we prayed four prayers with one wudu, while they are doing something against Sunnah. So the virtue is in following Prophet ﷺ, not what me and you. There are other aspects in this hadith mentioned that when a person forgets reading the Quran, he should not be criticized and he should not be bitter. Maybe it is the fault of the person who is criticizing why he is forgetting. In another report, hadith mentioned by Imam Ahmad, says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led us in prayer and recited Surah Rum, same hadith. But he got mixed up in the part of recitation. He said, the shaitan made us get mixed up in our recitation because of some people who come to the prayer without wudu. When you come to prayer, do wudu properly. کیونکہ جنہوں نے وضو نہیں کیا ہوتا جب بندہ غسل کرتا ہے وضو کرتا ہے تو what did Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم say that وضو is the weapon of مومن جب اس کے پاس weapon ہوتا ہے then شیطان does not come near اب these people who have come to the mosque standing in the prayer and not got وضو شیطان also come with them and those شیطان actually influence other people as well. So Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, he mentioned more details that shaitan get mixed up because, and where does the shaitan come, or where does he get access through is those people who do not have wudu, because they are not safe from shaitan at that time. If a person has wudu, he special angels protect him from shaitan. He will rarely indulge in sin, and he will really feel lazy towards prayer. وضو میں بہت اچھے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ایک تو نماز کے پہلے وضو کرنا سنت ہے, دوسرا تو لائک اٹ از سنت جیسے وضو نماز ہر نماز سے پہلے اولدو یو مائٹ ہیو وضو, سملرلی بفور سلیپنگ اٹ از سنت ٹو ڈو وضو گوئنگ ٹو سلیپ بیکاز وی ڈو ناٹ نو وی مائٹ ناٹ, بٹ واٹ وی ڈو از وی ڈو دا اپوزٹ تھنگ, وی تھنک دیٹ ناؤ وی آر گوئنگ ٹو سلیپ ڈرٹی کلوتھ. And if we want to have wudu, we destroy it and go into the toilet. Whatever filthy, just go sleep. And then People complain, we cannot get up for tahajjud or get up for fajr, or we have very bad dreams, shaitan comes to us, then what can those people expect? In some riwayats mention a person who sleeps in wudu, his soul actually stays in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he might not be a protector from shaitan. And if death approaches, shaitan will not come near him to seduce him or to misguide him. The angel actually protect that person. So, sone se pehle bhi wudu, namaz se pehle wudu karna to fard hai. But if you have wudu, doing wudu again is mustahab and is sunnat. But before sleeping, like you make it your habit if you can, that even if you do not have wudu, before sleeping, do wudu and then go. If people think that we are pure, then let them know that no one is more purified and more holy than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he had done any act, this means we are in much more need of that. So I think I have given you some 3-4 ahadith regarding many other aspects of guidance, but the main one which you keep in your mind is that look at the situation and do not nominate people and disgrace them in public. Either as you say generally when family or other people are sitting and mention something generally so that person will hear, maybe some others will hear and benefit. But if you are very much fond of saying to him directly, then say to him in such a place, in such a time, where when he is comfortable, in good mood, and he is in receptive mood. So when he is angry, or any person do not actually say, especially if you have any grudge or any other, because of any other matter, then you might be doing this act only because of your nafs, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to go beyond this. Another hadith mentioned by Hazrat Abu Umama ibn Sahal ibn Hanif reported that his father told him that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out and they traveled with him in the direction of Makkah. It's a long hadith, but I will just mention to you a summary. They traveled somewhere. During the journey, one of the companions took his clothes off upper body and wanted to do ghusl. The other companion, one of the other ones, he saw that person, and because that person had a very white and beautiful skin, so he was praising him. As soon as he was praising him, that companion fell down ill and he had like an epileptic fit for them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and it was said to him, it was said to the Prophet ﷺ, was informed that had happened. So Prophet ﷺ said, do you want to see Sahal? By Allah, he cannot raise his head or wake up. He asked, whose fault is this? Prophet ﷺ asked that want to see Sahal, but they said he cannot raise his head even. He was healthy. Prophet ﷺ said, whose fault is this? They said, Amir bin Rabi looked at him. Rabia looked at him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Amir and rebuked him angrily and said, why would any one of you kill his brother? If any one of you see that his brother has something he likes, let him pray for blessing for him. Then he said to him, wash yourself to help him. Mean, it is hadith is related to evil eyes. That's a nazar lag jana. Uske baare mein aapko samjhaya hai, nazar haq hai, the evil eye is true, it happens, and how to now save people from it so that your evil eye does not affect anyone or anyone else's does not affect you is when you buy something, when you see a beautiful car, clothes, any person, any child who is looking nice to you, instead of praising it and just leaving it at that, if you say ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah, then that will not affect that person, or inshallah it will not affect if you have anything you like. You say ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah, then it will not affect. So Prophet ﷺ firstly became aware what has happened, and then he became angry, showing that this is something, a person has done something wrong, harmed his brother. Then he also mentioned how to not harm the brother, what is the way out, what should you say? Because a person, if he likes something, he likes, nothing can be done about that, and someone do something. If you like something, you like. If it's something is beautiful, someone has a beautiful voice, someone has a beautiful house, etc., anything. But if you see yourself, anything, or as any other Muslim brother, if you like it, say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, then evil eye will not affect. Then what did the Prophet say? The solution of this person is lying, let's say, paralyzed here. He cannot even raise his head. Rasulullah said to the person, Rabia, wash yourself to help him. So he washed his face, his hand, up the elbows, his knees, the side of his feet, and he did istinja in a vessel. All the water, Prophet said, put together, and pour that water over him. So when the water was poured over his head, and back from behind, tilting the vessel, and Sahal went with the people, and there was nothing wrong with him. Now imagine any one person cannot even think that this can be the solution of that. Ke istinja ka, wuzu ka sara pani used water. If someone knows that someone has affected, then this should be done. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah is a preventive measure. Now nothing happens. But if something has occurred like this, then this is the solution. Then that person, whoever person thinks he has raised himself, he should be asked to istinja and to do wudu, and full water of the wudu should be contained in a vessel, and that should be poured on that person, the sick, whoever is affected. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give shifa to that person. So same hadith Prophet ﷺ mentioned with another riwayat. The Prophet ﷺ said, Sahal fell ill on the spot and became seriously ill. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, came and was told, Sahal has fallen ill and cannot go with you, O Messenger of Allah. Sahal told him what had happened with Amir, and the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, why would any of you kill his brother? You should have asked for blessings for him. The evil eye, the eye is real, it happened, that's what Prophet Buzurgan Deen has mentioned, that if this is the effect of evil eye, any person's eye, will there not be effect of any, the pious people's eye as well? Jo log maante nahi buzurgon ki nazar, wo kitna faiz hota hai, unki nazaron se bhi faiz pahunchta hai, and people get benefit spiritually. Uski daleel is hadith mein hai, agar shaitano, or if every person, many people have this effect of evil effect, will good people will have good effect as well. So there's some other hadith, but they mention the same point as I have mentioned to you, that preventing people to harming other, if someone is doing something wrong to someone, you can act angrily, not because you became angry for yourself, but actually to show that something is wrong and stop. Also provide solution for it, and then actually also preventive measure, what can be done in future for this problem. If it happens, what will be done, and if to actually abstain or to prevent it happening, what should you do? And then also offering solutions. And another point of wisdom is mentioned, that no one can see any relationship between the water of wudu, the water of wudu, and actually the cure of the other person. دیکھ رہے وضو میں کتنی برکت ہے، یہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پانی میں بھی کتنی برکت ہو، یہ اس میں تبرک کا بھی دلیل ہے. دیر از دلیل آف پائس پیپل وہ دا مسلم نارمل مسلم دیر از اے کمپینین ہے دا کمپینین آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم دیٹ دن وضو اینڈ دا واٹر از سچ بلیسڈ دیٹ پرسن بیکمز پیور. تو نیک اور صالحین لوگ ہیں، اسی لیے دا کمپینین آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صحیح بخاری دیٹ دے ڈڈ ناٹ لیٹ دی واٹر آف وضو فال ڈاؤن آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Any one of them actually will get together and they will have the water in their hand, did not let them the water fall down on the ground, and will rub for barakat and blessing. And I mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim that if anyone did not get this blessing water, the company will come and he will rub his hand with the hand of the other person who have got that water. تو اور بھی اس میں باتیں ہیں، بٹ دس از سفیشینٹ فار یو دیٹ وین سم تھنگ ہیپنز ہاؤ یو شوڈ ریئیکٹ اینڈ وٹ آر دی تھنگز وچ یو شوڈ ڈو. تو سفیشینٹ ناٹ اونلی وٹ یو ہیو ڈن، یو ہیو ڈن اے ویری رانگ تھنگ، یو شوڈ ناٹ بی ڈوئنگ دس، دس از ناٹ یو کین سے ورڈ آف وزڈم اینڈ دیٹ یو شوڈ ناٹ ایڈمانش پیپل لائک دس. ڈوز اینڈ ڈونٹ assess the situation and then remind yourself and refresh in your mind the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then apply them, and inshallah you will find more barakah and you can say more blessing and more beneficial for you and for the other as well, other person as well. May Allah jalla majhu enable me and you to act upon the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his illuminated methods. I think, and forgive me if I've said anything. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. Now, if there is anything you want to ask, you can mention. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهُ. So anything, clothes you buy, car you buy, house, any object of the house, anything you buy, if you like it, it's beautiful, just say this word, inshallah, when you see it, and that will be protected from the evil eye of others as well. MashaAllah, Allah, 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 Allah. If you cannot get the other person to do wudu, then Surat Ikhlas and Falak and Surat Nas should be recited like it is sunnah recited before sleeping. Like that you recite Ikhlas, Falak and Nas and you blow it and rub your hand actually on Allah. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will Okay, if a person's gaze or nazar goes on a person and that person becomes ill, what should be done or what dua should be read for that person to get better? I say that because some people's nazar is strong, they don't mean it, but just being nice, for example, you looking very nice, they might say, and they become ill. So, I think I have already answered this question. I will again say that if a person's gazes fall on anything, the dua which I have said they should read is مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Inshallah, I will write it down as well. That's what a person should do. If a person does this, inshallah, That object will not be affected, that person will not be affected. Similarly, if you buy something for yourself, if you say this, still it will be protected. And if you say your sister, your brother, they have anything, and you like it, simply you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Do not abstain from, because of satanic notion. One person said, I know my eye will affect very much. I know the dua as well, but I don't want to say because I want those things actually to go from that person. So, see, if you guna ho jayega, then it is a sin, because this is person will intentionally have, in spite of that, he can save the other person from, and he is harming the person, and it is a great sin. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man aza musliman faqad azana. Whoever will harm any Muslim, koi musliman ko jo takleef dega, usne mujhe takleef di, he has harmed me. Jisne musliman ko takleef di, usne mujhe takleef di. Man azani faqad aza Allah. And jisne mujhe takleef di, usne Allah ko takleef di. And whoever will harm me, has in fact actually displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. دیکھنا مسلمان کا کتنا درجہ ہے, مسلمان کا کتنا درجہ ہے. Without a shari reason, if you taunt or give grief or somehow cause harm or loss to a Muslim, you are not in fact actually harming that Muslim brother, Muslim sister, you are in fact actually harming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he is like the, you can say, spiritual father, more loving than father and mother for the Ummah. So if you harm anyone's son, daughter, the mother and father will be harmed as well. And they will also be displeased, and they will also be affected, and they will also grieve. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved more his ummah than people love their sons and daughters. So if any Muslim who is the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any shari reason, and just you harm them, cause them loss, taunt them, belittle them, break their heart. In fact, you are breaking in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you keep this in your mind, this will inshallah help you to abstain from doing ghibat and doing other sins of Muslims. Then ghibat karna musliman ko dukh pahunchta hai, then she will become aware that this person, this brother or sister has been saying such thing. This person obviously will become grieved. He was sad over there. He will sadden that person. And this person, you will sad and you will harm and cause grief. In fact, this you will be causing that sadness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, ghibat sirf ye nahi hai ki aapki nekiyan bhi udhar chali jayengi. You are also displeasing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is just like you are saying something bad actually regarding like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naudhu billah. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered his ummah is very beloved to him. And he liked his ummah actually to be nice and, you can say, gentle with each other and respect the rights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each other. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to actually respect other Muslims and also, you can say, inshallah we will just write the dua. This dua is mentioned in the hadith. Inshallah, I will write it down. So if you think your eye will touch someone, still you read this dua. If you have bought or acquired something for yourself, by looking, you still recite this dua. Inshallah, Allah protect it. Anything else?
Some people actually go before the Imam, and if it is open, how can I tell the person if it is not?
You are right actually that one person should not perform any act of prayer before the Imam. In some cases the prayer can become invalid as well if you do very much before. To elder people, there are various ways you can say to them. Firstly, you should know that it was sunnah of Prophet ﷺ and the companions that you should become familiar with that person, create a sense of belonging and a sense of closeness with that person. Sit with him. Do not go and first pray, because you see him every day. Do not go and say to him that I think your whole prayer is invalid and nothing is accepted. And he might forget what his prayer is valid or not. He will say, I will look at my prayer after, but firstly I will deal with you. You are saying my old prayers are invalid for 50 years, etc. So, firstly, the approach should be that you should go and start conversation with that person about anything, you know, worldly thing, religious thing. Few times you do this, and when there is, you can say, a little bit of freedom, and the barrier breaks it between you. And then expressing, you can say, not even then you directly saying to that person, and saying about another person, not another person, but saying that some people come here and they go, the children, because I don't think they know, and they go and you can say to the sajda before the Imam does. Does this prayer become invalid? Is it right or wrong? I have heard. And then that person will actually know somehow like this, so that this person honor and respect. But if there is an ilmi, a knowledgeable, you can say, study circle, then obviously they can see. And there should be, it is the duty of the Imam. It is like Prophet, if someone had not done wudu, he rebuked them. If someone was not praying correctly, it is the responsibility of the mosque, of every Imam, that his muqtadi are reading namaz correctly. If they are doing anything wrong, it is his duty to see what they are doing wrong, and to sit them after one prayer, or two or three times a week, and each of them listen fries, how they do, or he has seen any mistake, he can point them out, because they will not mind when the Imam will say something to them. That's their duty. But if an outsider should approach, he should have a gentle and subtle approach based on wisdom, so that he does not cause more harm than benefit. As I said, that you can explain to people, you can convey the message, but you cannot force them. So once you have done Amr bin Maruf and you have conveyed your message, now you have fulfilled your right. If you have done it two, three times and they know now, they have knowledge. But if they don't listen or they don't follow, that is, the sin will be on them. You will be actually, you can say, made free from that obligation. ٹھیک ہے پھر جزاک اللہ سبحانک اللہم و بحمدک اشہد ان لا الہ الا انت استغفرک و اتوب الیک. اچھا ہاں کچھ کھانا بھی ہے تو ڈو ناٹ گو ایکچولی بیفور ایٹنگ انشاءاللہ یو ہیو ٹائم. ہاں پھر بھی کرنا چاہیے کیونکہ حکم تو سن رہے ہیں نا. You are hukam sun rahe. Although some ulama have different opinions, but the more valid opinion is those who say, and because you are listening to the verse of the Quran. You see, when a normal person is reading, he is not reading for you, is he? Wo to apne liye pad raha hai, but still sajda comes wajib on you. Even you listen accidentally. So that tilawat, actually, if you have put it for yourself, actually, or anyone else has put, when you hear that, you can say, order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better to do sajda. And you can perform many sajdas at once as well. The qaza is wajib, you do not become free from it. Previously, you have missed any sajda. So when you are sitting doing nothing, just do niyat and do about 14, 15, however you want. Be covered with it. There is no harm in it. ٹھیک ہے پھر ابھی ان شاء اللہ کھانا لے آئیں تاکہ کسی کھانا کھا کے نہ لگے جائے تھوڑا